So minog in I think Yerushalayim. I'm not sure if it's minog Yerushalayim, but some do have the minog to first of all, many of the minog just to avoid min hashmashos entirely and to avoid the shaila. But yes, in theory, some can do the kinyan and the signing of the ksuba after to avoid the shaila as well. In theory, that would be an alternate recourse for something like this. But again, that's not pragmatically what's done. I think again, you have this machlokes in Moshe Rabbeinu Zalman what to do in that scenario. I think in our machanem, most will use the earlier date. That's the psak of Rav Schechter. And Rav Schechter went further. He felt that Rav Moshe's psak was potentially problematic because we have a principle called kolsa kinyano, that once the kinyan is finished, it can't go into effect anymore. The kinyan is over and done. So if you were to assess that the kinyan went through at a later date, you'd have a problem with kolsa kinyano. So you took that issue with Rav Moshe Feinstein's psak as well. But again, these are very pragmatic issues that come up all the time with the notion of Shtar Mukdam and Shtar Me'uchar. And yes, it is true, we no longer use the date of the Jewish kings, but it's just good to be aware of that these are not just arcane halachos that you'd only encounter if you're a top-ranking dayan. These are really halachos that come up, they're Maisim Shebechol Yom. They really come up not infrequently at different weddings. Okay, good. Next, the Gemara, like I said, the rest of the Shach of Tarya will go pretty quickly. The Gemara goes through different permutations of this halacha of Rosh Chodesh Nisan serving as the Rosh Hashanah for kings. It goes through different permutations and scenarios that might arise, and it goes on to discuss why each scenario and permutation is necessary, what it goes on to teach us. We are starting now from six lines up from the bottom on Beis Amud Aleph, from the words Tanu Rabbanan at the beginning of the line. Tanu Rabbanan, Melech Sha'amad Be'esrim V'tisha Be'adar. You have a king who is coronated on the 29th of Adar. Kivan shehigia echad b'nisan, also lo shana. Once the very next day arrives, the first of Nisan arrives, that one day that he served as the king on the 29th of Adar, that is considered his year one, and the very next day is already the commencement, the beginning of year two. There's a nice sefer called Daf al Adaf, which has nice ha'aros on the Daf. They quote the Sifsei Chachamim as saying, it's a lesson that in a single day, you can achieve what others perhaps achieve in a single year. Sometimes, what we ourselves sometimes achieve in a single year. It's a kona olama b'sha'a achas kind of idea, that in a single day, so much can be accomplished. A tov olara, in either direction, for good or for bad. But in a single day, so much can be accomplished. Good. So if he starts on the 29th of Adar, that one day counts as his first year. V'emlo amad ela b'echad b'nisan. If he's only coronated on the first day of Nisan, ein monin lo sha ad she'yagia Nisan acher. Then the whole year is needed to count as his first year. We cannot consider it the completion of a full year until the following Nisan. Amar mar. Melech she'amad b'esrim v'tisha b'adar. If you have a king that was coronated on the 29th of Adar, Kivan Shiyagia Echad B'Nisan also Loshana. Once you reach the very next day, that counts as a full year. Hakamashmalan. This is what it comes to teach us. What is this whole Tanu Rabbanan? What is this whole Braisa coming to teach us? To Nisan Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. It's coming to reaffirm what we just saw in our Mishnah, that the first of Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for kings. V'yom Echad B'Shana Chashuv Shana. And a single day of that year is sufficient to constitute an entire year as far as the dating of Shtaros is concerned. We would consider that to be the first of the year. V'imlo amad ela be'echad b'nisan ein monin lo sha'a ad she'yagia Nisan acher. And that which the Braisa said, that if he only takes over on the first of Nisan, we don't consider it a full year until he reaches the next Nisan. Pshita, I would have said that's obvious. Lo tzricha de'imnu le me'adar. The Gemara says it's necessary for a case where they appointed him. Rashi says that the Sarim, the notables, they agreed that he is going to be the king already from Adar. Ma'u desema nimnu le tartin shanin kamash malam. What would I have said? That the mere fact that they agreed that he's going to be the king would be sufficient to consider that previous year a year of his coronation. And the Gemara says no. It's specifically from the moment he's coronated. That's when Rosh Chodesh Nisan. From Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's when it applies. We have till what time? 6:20. Okay, I thought we have to 6:30, but we'll still be fine. Don't worry. So the Gemara says that the mere fact that they agreed that he's going to be the king, the fact that the nobles agreed that he's going to be the king is insufficient to constitute a year, even if they decided that earlier. It's specifically from the moment of his coronation. Now again, the Gemara is going to list further scenarios, or the Braisa, better yet, is going to list further scenarios, and it's going to describe why each of them is necessary. Tanu Rabbanan, Meis Be'Adar. You have one king that dies in Adar. We're six lines down on Beis Amud Beis at the very beginning. The Amar Acher Tachtav Be'Adar. And a new king is coronated in Adar as well. So one king dies on Purim, and the next king is coronated on Shushan Purim. Monin Shana Lezeh Ulezeh. That Adar counts as a year for the previous king and for the new king. That's scenario number one. Meis B'Nisan V'Amar Acher Tachtav B'Nisan. You have a king that dies in Nisan, and another king that dies... another king that's coronated during Nisan. One dies before Pesach, and the other is coronated on Pesach. Monin Shana Lezeh Ulezeh. That Nisan counts for the previous king. Counts as a year for the previous king and for the incoming Melech, and the incoming ruler. Scenario number three. Meis Be'Adar V'Amar Acher Tachtav B'Nisan. You have one that dies in Adar, and the new king is coronated a month later in Nisan. Monin Rishona L'Rishon Ushnia L'Sheni. So Adar counts as a year for the previous monarch, and Nisan counts as a new year for the new monarch. Now, all of these seem entirely obvious. They're all just extensions of this principle that we said, that Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. So the Gemara is going to go on to discuss why each is necessary. Amar Mar. So the master explained to us, Meis Ba'adar V'Amar Achar Tachta Ba'adar, Monin Shana Lezeh Ulezeh. If you have one that dies during Adar and another that is coronated in the same Adar, the year counts for each of them. Pshita, that's obvious. Again, it's just an extension of our principle. So Mahu Desema, what might you have said? Shasal Vaitre Lomaninon, you might have said that we can't count a single month towards both monarchs, towards both rulers. So you're just going to have to decide. It's going to have to be one or the other. Kamash Malan, it comes to teach you that, you know what, we can indeed double dip, if you will. We can indeed count it towards the previous monarch and towards the incoming monarch. Scenario number two. Meis B'Nisan V'Amar Acher Tachta B'Nisan. If you have one monarch that dies in the month of Nisan, and again, an incoming ruler that's coronated during the same month of Nisan, Monin Shana Lezeh Ulezeh, the year counts for both of them. Pshita, once again, that's obvious. It seems like a restatement of the same thing. So the Gemara says, here too there is a chiddush. Here too there's a novel halachic ruling that you may not have derived from the previous scenario. Ma'u Desema, what might you have said? Ki Amrinan Yom Echad B'Shana Chashiv Shana B'Sof Shana. When would I have said that you can count a single day as the entirety of the year? Specifically, if it's the last day of the year. Because it's the last day of the year, I'll consider it as if it's the entirety of the year. Afal b'tchilas shana lo amrinan. I might have said that at the very beginning of the year, in the month of Nisan, perhaps it is not considered a full year. Kamash malan, once again, it comes to teach you that even a day in the first, in Chodesh Nisan, that can be considered a full year for the previous monarch, even though he didn't reach the end of the year. Now, scenario number three, Meis Ba'adar V'Amad Acher Tachtav B'Nisan, Monin Rishona L'Rishon Ushnia L'Sheni. So if one dies in Adar, and the next one is coronated a month later in Nisan, of course it could really be a couple days apart if one dies at the end of Adar and the other is coronated at the beginning of Nisan. But for simplicity's sake, the other is coronated a month later, so Adar counts for the deceased monarch, and Nisan counts for a full year for the new monarch. Once again, Pshita, it seemed obvious, just another extension of our principle. Lo Tzricha De'imnu Ale Me'Adar, Umelech ben Melechu. The Gemara goes further here. Let's say it's not only that they came to a consensus that he's going to be the next ruler in the month of Adar, but he has another merit in his corner. He has Tarti. He has two things running in his favor. He's also the son of the Melech. And we know that there is Yerusha, as Rashi points out, for Malchus. We know that there's inherited monarchy. So he has two things going for him. Maybe we would say that even though he hasn't had his formal coronation yet, look, if they all agree that he's going to be the king, and he's also the son of the king, then clearly that should count. The Gemara says, no, ma'u desema nimnu le tartin shanin kamash malan. We might have said that count that for him. But the Gemara says, no, it really depends on that actual coronation. That is the only point at which you can consider it a full year. So through those various scenarios provided by the Braisa, we really flesh out this halacha that Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim. Good. Yeah, so, in Achinami. And when they had the Northern Kingdom and the Southern Kingdom, they did indeed have two kings. And we know that you'd say, oh, maybe it's only Malchus Beis David, but we know that's also not true. We know that Malchus Yisrael, there was a formal halachic status to the Melech Yisrael. The Melech Yisrael, regarding many halachas, had the formal stature of Melech as well. How did they date things at that point? I don't know the answer to that. Maybe it depended on whether you were in Yehuda or Yisrael.
Yeah, they named the king.
They were named the king, right, exactly. So then you'd be okay.
Kingdoms,
now... It would still be confusing because if you've learned Sefer Melachim, you know that a lot of the kings have the same names too. So you'd have to be careful in your naming and your shtaros. The sofrim, I guess, had to be quality. You'd have to make sure you had a quality sofer back then. But yes, that's presumably how they would take care of it. Okay, good. We have 10 minutes remaining. The Gemara now is going to try to figure out where we get this date of Rosh Chodesh Nisan for the Rosh Hashanah Melachim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We're pretty much smack in the middle of the page of Daf Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Minayim Melachim she'ein monin lahem ela minisan." Where do we get this notion that the Rosh Hashanah for kings is in Nisan? And he's going to bring a scriptural proof. He's going to bring a proof from a pasuk. Shneamar. The pasuk says, in the context of Shlomo getting ready to build the Beis Hamikdash, it was 480 years from Tzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, from the time that Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim during the fourth month, Bechodesh Ziv. Chodesh Hasheni, Chodesh Ziv, which is Chodesh Iyar. Tosfos point out that later in our Masechta, Chodesh Ziv is going to be identified as Chodesh Nisan. So Tosfos tried to navigate that. Chodesh Ziv is identified as two different months. But again, that Tosfos deal with. We'll keep moving. But in any event, it's dated 480 years from Tzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. So the Gemara says, Makish Malchus Shlomo Liyetzias Mitzrayim. So we have a hekesh in the pasuk. We have a connection between Yitzias Mitzrayim and the reign of Shlomo. My Yitzias Mitzrayim in Nisan. When did Yitzias Mitzrayim happen? We know that happened during the month of Nisan. That's when we celebrate the holiday of Pesach. Af Malchus Shlomo mi Nisan. So similarly, the dating of the reign of Shlomo should happen from the month of Nisan because the pasuk links the reign of Shlomo to Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now the Gemara asks a remarkable question that we never would have thought to ask, but. The Gemara says, "V'yitzias Mitzrayim gufa minalan demi Nisan." How do you know that Yitzias Mitzrayim itself happened in Nisan? Minisan maninan. I'm sorry that we count it from Nisan. Dilma mi Tishrei maninan. Maybe we should count it from Tishrei. And the Gemara says, "Lo salkodaytach." You shouldn't think that. The Gemara is going to put together a couple of episodes that happened over the course of Yitzias Mitzrayim and the travels of the Midbar in order to make a definitive determination that this was actually during Nisan. It's going to be put together two episodes in particular. Dechsev, the first episode is the following. Vayal Aharon HaKohen al Hor HaHar al Pi Hashem. Aharon HaKohen ascended to the top of Hor HaHar as Hashem commanded him. Vayomol Shem, and there he perished. Bishnas HaArbaim Letzeis Bnei Yisrael Be'eretz Mitzrayim. In the 40th year, all the details are going to be important here because the Gemara is going to put all the details together. In the 40th year that the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Bachodesh HaChamishi Be'echad LaChodesh. What's the yahrzeit of Aharon HaKohen? It is Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av is the yahrzeit of Aharon HaKohen. It's not, again, we know it from Pasuk. That is when he ascended to the mountaintop in the 40th year that the Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Okay? Good. Next. What's the next Pasuk? Uksiv. Vayhi ba'arba'im shana. We're still in the 40th year. Be'ashtei asar chodesh be'achad l'chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh of the 11th month of Shavat. What happened then? Diber Moshe v'gomer. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu started his final speech to the Bnei Yisrael that now constitutes Sefer Devarim. So now the Gemara makes a cheshbon. Midekai be'av v'kari l'shnas arba'im. So Av is called the 40th year. The following Shavat is also called the 40th year. Michlal de Rosh Hashanah lav Tishrei. By definition, you can't say that Rosh Hashanah is Tishrei because then Av and the following Shvat are not part of the same year. Av would be year 40, Shvat would already be year 41. Clearly, the fact that they're described as the same year indicates that Rosh Hashanah, as we call it Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, is not the Rosh Hashanah that's being calculated here. Now the Gemara challenges this in a couple of ways. First, it's clear that the 40 years in the context of Aharon HaKohen is being calculated from the Exodus from Egypt. How do you know that? Because it says, "Shnas ha'arba'im." What are the next words in the pasuk? "Letzeis bnei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim." Right. So that's clearly being those 40 years are being dated from Yitzias Mitzrayim. Elahai, but the second pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech, "Mimaydu Yitzias Mitzrayim." Maybe those 40 years aren't being dated from Yitzias Mitzrayim. When else would they be dated from? Dilma lahakamas haMishkan. Maybe they're being dated from the point when the Mishkan was built, which would be a year later. In which case, what year would that be from Yitzias Mitzrayim? It would be year 41. So the Gemara says, no, don't start playing games like that. Kedamar Papa, as Papa tells us, Shnas Esrim, L'Gzeira Shava. When you have the term Shnas Esrim twice in the Pasuk, it means that it's referring to the same 20th year. Hachanami Shnas Arba'im, L'Gzeira Shava. You have the term for the 40th year that appears twice. So, Ma Kan Li'Yetzias Mitzrayim, just like in one instance it's explicated that it's counting from Yetzias Mitzrayim, Afkan Li'Yetzias Mitzrayim, the second case has to be Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. Don't start playing games and saying, oh, this is 40 years from Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is 40 years from Makamas HaMishkan. Clearly the 40 years are intended to refer to the same thing. Now the next question that the Gemara asks is, this whole proof is predicated upon Av being the death of Aaron and the following Shavat being the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's speech and then both happening in the 40th year. The Gemara asks, Umimai demaisa de Av kodim. How do you know that Aaron's death in Av happened before Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Shavat? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu's speech in Shavat happened first. Aaron HaKohen's death in Av happened afterwards, in which case, of course they would be the same year. I'm sorry?
No,
the Aaron's death in Makabat Shavat, so you can turn it. So that's how the Gemara, you're saying you're supporting the Gemara's question.
Yeah.
Right, correct. But the Gemara is going to offer an answer. It says it doesn't make sense. Lo sagadaita, the Gemara says. You can't entertain that possibility. Two lines up from the bottom. Dechsiv acharei hakoso es Sichon. Because it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu's speech was given after the conquest of Sichon. Chinoch nafshe de Aaron akati hava Sichon kayim. And when Aaron died, Sichon was still alive. How do we know that? Dechsiv, as the Gemara tells us, based on a pasuk in Tav Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, vayishma haKena'ani melech Arad, that the Kena'ani, Melech Arad, he heard something. Now this pasuk actually appears twice, as Tosos note. And which one it refers to is subject to a machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. But again, we won't get into those details right now. But what did he hear? Mashemu Hashama. He hears something and he attacks Klal Yisrael. Mashemu Hashama, what exactly did he hear? Second line. Shama Shemes Aharon. He heard that Aharon HaKohen passed away. Benistalku Anone Kavod. We know that Aharon HaKohen was the one in whose merit the Anone Kavod protected Klal Yisrael. And what he heard was the death of Aharon HaKohen. And that's when he decided it was okay for him to attack. Third line. Ukesavur nitna rishus lehilachim biYisrael. He thought, now that these Anani HaKavod have left, now I have rishus, now I am allowed, I'm entitled, I'm licensed to attack the Bnei Yisrael. V'haynu dechsiv v'yiru kol ha'edah ki kava Aharon. That's what the pasuk says. The entire congregation saw that Aharon died. The Gemara offers a drasha. V'amar Rabbi Abahu al tekre v'yiru ela v'yirau. Don't read it as they saw, rather as they appeared. The Anani HaKavod were lifted, and now everybody was able to see Klal Yisrael. As Reish Lakish says, the word ki can be interpreted in four ways. Either they saw ki gava Aharon, they saw that Aharon died, or they appeared because Aharon died and the Anani HaKavod were lifted. Of course, vayiri'u can also be read as, and they what? And they feared. Tosas addressed that possibility as well. And it's important when you're a Balkorah, you have to know the difference between Vayiru and they saw and Vayiru and they feared. Let's just finish one more line. Mi dami hasam Kena'an hasasichon. How can you compare the two psukim? One is referring to Kena'an and the other is referring to Sichon. The Gemara answers, Tana hu Sichon hu Arad hu Kena'an. The Gemara tells us Sichon, Arad, and Kena'an all refer to the same person. Sichon shadoma l'siach b'midbar. Sichon because he was similar to a wild horse in the wilderness. Kena'an al shem Malchuso, Kena'an because that was the name of his kingdom. Uma Shemo, Arad, and his personal name was Arad. Arad Shemo, Arad was his name. Ika Da'amri, there are those who say, Arad Shadoma la Arad Bamidbar, he was called Arad because he was similar to a wild donkey in the wilderness. Kena'an al shem Malchuso, Kena'an because of the name of his kingdom. Uma Shemo, Sichon Shemo, and his name was actually Sichon. The Gemara is going to go on tomorrow to discuss lots of other possible Rosh Hashanahs for the Malachim. But that concludes our first daf of Masechet Rosh Hashanah.